You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up. Good morning. It is time to get up with the dunk of the year, and Ant-Man is posterizing, folks. We break down every single angle of last night's jam. And does Pittsburgh have a new problem? How quickly will we see controversy between Justin and Russ? And my guy Mel Kiper is here to bring us a brand new mock draft. And if it stands, these 12 picks will be historic to start off the 2024 draft. And he will explain to you why. Hey, what's happening? We are at the Steamport.
Let's do it.
Nope, no need to change your TV. Greeny is in Aspen skiing with Stace. But I have my guy Tim Legler here to talk some hoops. And we will get with Jeff Darlington, Tim Hasselbeck, and Mel Kiper with his new mock draft. Fellas, what's happening? It is time to have a great day. But before we start, let's get to the wake-up call. And Anthony Edwards with the dunk of the year, or maybe the decade.
Warren did not score and only had one shot attempt in that first half. Another turnover for Utah. Edwards gets it back and threw it down. And one from the rafters.
Legs, that's the kind of dunk that makes any attractive person give you the stink face when they see it. What is up with Ant-Man?
That's the kind of dunk that makes me real fortunate that I'm doing this for a living now. Because I remember I had to make some of those decisions right there that John Collins had to make. And I would usually make a different decision than he did.
Anthony Edwards, we were talking earlier in the green room about Jalen Brunson and how he can get his shot anytime. And it turned into an Anthony Edwards athletic love fest. How is Anthony Edwards now transcending the game when we talk about that throwback to that athletic explosive dunker?
Yeah, you know, he's added a lot of polish to his game over the last couple of years with his handle, his mid-range, the way he can manage late games. But at the end of the day, Ryan, this is what brought our attention to Anthony Edwards in the first place. And every now and then, he has to remind you that he can do things athletically few guys in this league can.
Well, we're going to run the hurry up right now, or run the floor. I'm thinking about the football season, Legs. We are way into basketball. Last night, the Lakers dismantled Atlanta. LeBron, AD, D'Angelo Russell all had great games. Is this big three enough to get the Lakers in a deep run? And why has it been so successful?
Deep run, I think, is improbable. But look, they have nights like this, particularly when D'Angelo Russell gives them that supplemental offense. It gives them that three-point threat to take the pressure off of LeBron and AD, where you think they still could be dangerous.
Okay, also now we saw Jason Tatum's and the Celtics. They breeze past the Detroit Pistons. We get 31 from Jaylen Brown. He's playing some of his best ball of his career. How much do they need him if they want to make a deep run?
This is the best Jaylen Brown has ever played. And he's putting it all together right now. His efficiency, his scoring, his defense is there every night. And then more importantly, his playmaking has really taken off to another level. Jaylen Brown really helping out Jason Tatum.
And again, Jason Tatum wasn't there last night, but Jaylen Brown steps up and becomes the star and number one that they need. Speaking of stars and number one, Jalen Brunson had a huge night last night in a win over Golden State. How much of a factor will the Knicks be in the playoffs?
Well, they're dangerous because of what Jalen Brunson can do. I mean, this guy is in control out there on a level that few players in this league are. The question is going to be their health. OG Anunoby out again right now. Julius Randle, we haven't heard anything about him. I don't know if they're going to have enough to make a serious run at the East, but Jalen Brunson is a guy that's going to keep you in games and make you a very difficult out.
I mean, you watch the New York Knicks. You have Jalen Brunson stepping up, becoming a superstar. Josh Hart has played the most minutes of anybody in the entire NBA since the All-Star break. He goes 48 last night. This is a team that's finding ways to win. And I know Stephen A will be really excited if they do make a deep run. But speaking of deep runs, the team that we're used to seeing is the Golden State Warriors. Right now, the Golden State Warriors take another step back. This year, they're the only team to have a winning record for the entire season, but a losing record at home. They are currently 10th in the West standings, three games from falling out of the playoffs entirely. When we think about the Golden State Warriors, Tim, we're used to this team finding ways to win. And also in those critical championship moments, we see their big three. We see the championship medal. What's been wrong with this team this season that they can't seem to find that stride?
The biggest issue with the Warriors this year is that they haven't really had everybody playing at a high level offensively at the same time. It's sort of been take your pick on a given night outside of Steph Curry. And the inconsistency as a result has been difficult to overcome because this is not an elite defensive team. The way that those teams were that were winning championships when they were pretty much always ranked in the top five in defensive rating, that's not this team. This team is smaller. This team has a difficult time securing rebounds when the game is on the line. They don't really have a physical presence on that end of the floor the way that they did. So therefore, you need to be great offensively to overcome that most nights, and they just haven't been. They've had too many guys playing below their career norm other than Steph Curry. And that's why we watch them some nights. If they get it going on that given night, we think, wow, you can't write this team off yet. Yeah. But then you see too many nights when it's just hit or miss, and it seems like they're just treading water, trying to stay alive, and that's just not going to be good enough in a loaded West.
Yeah, and watching that game last night, Steph has the slow start, no points in the first quarter. You thought he was starting to come along, but then Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks find a way to finish the game off. But speaking of teams finding ways to finish games and finish seasons, the Pittsburgh Steelers are now having an opportunity to not only have Russell Wilson in the building, but Justin Fields. And the trade rumors or the trade talk continues. Fields was traded for a 6th-round pick, and the Bears tight end Cole Kmet was not pleased with how the trade went down.
Really upsetting that it kind of came to that and, you know, where it was at that moment. But, you know, you kind of felt like the writing was on the wall with that. I think the NBA guys are going to move on from it at some point. I'm sure guys are upset. I was upset about it and, you know, saddened about it. But it is what it is. And, you know, it is part of the business.
I have my guys, and it's feeling real familiar. We have Tim Hasselbeck, Jeff Darlington, and Mel Kiper. Mel, we know that you're cool, calm, and collected. That hair and that gel never moves. But who won the trade of Fields to Pittsburgh?
Oh, this wasn't even close, right? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was a giveaway. Basically, here he is, you know, Justin Fields, and he can work in unison with Russell Wilson. He can give you those packages and give defensive coordinators not one but two quarterbacks to have to defend against and prepare for. So Pittsburgh Steelers, hey, they had their quarterback. He's 25 years of age. He's won with a team that didn't have much around him. He can beat you with his arm, with his legs. He could maybe be a top 5 to 7 quarterback in this league. Russell Wilson's 35. He's 25. This is a steal for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and in a division where I'm sure the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns are not thrilled about this. Can we have them go somewhere else other than their division? Are you kidding me? The Steelers and Justin Fields is a match made in heaven.
Jeff, is it a mistake for the Steelers to have already named Russell Wilson the starter? You hear Merrill talk about Justin Fields maybe being a top 5 or top 7 quarterback possibly. So why is the time now to say that Russell is the guy?
It's only a mistake, Ryan, if you actually believe it. And that's the thing. I don't. And I can't believe that even the people who are reporting this as such believe that ultimately Russell Wilson is the starter and that's it. I mean, other than the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, yeah, Russ, if you come to us for the veteran minimum, you're the starter. And then to everybody else, cool. But right now, there is no way that Justin Fields goes into training camp, does not compete with Russell Wilson. And quite honestly, if you're putting odds on this, I've got Fields having better odds of winning the starter job after what we've seen from Russell Wilson the past 2 years, then Russell Wilson. I think the second that there is any vulnerability here, I mean, you just heard Kmet right there talking about the idea of being upset that Fields is gone. That tells you how well-liked he is in a locker room. I think he's going to go into Pittsburgh and potentially win this job during training camp.
Tim, to me, though, that doesn't sound like a recipe for a great quarterback room. Presumably, the Chicago Bears traded Justin Fields so they wouldn't have a room with some discord if they drafted a young rookie quarterback at number one. So is a quarterback controversy inevitable in Pittsburgh?
I think it is, Ryan, because, you know, when you look at the situation, it's a little bit like what Jeff just laid out. Look, Justin Fields, I'm sure, sees himself as a starter. And I think there are a lot of people in this league, and I'm sure probably people in the Steelers organization, that look at Justin Fields as a starter. And so with that, he's going to want to play. And if he's not the starter to start the season, I think there are going to be Bears fans that are excited to see what Justin Fields can do. And then beyond that, Russell Wilson, while I think he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks on the planet, he's going to enter into a new team, you know, a new offense. It's going to be a little bit different than things he's done in the past. And so he has to play well. He doesn't have the financial protection to keep him on the field if he is struggling or if the team isn't winning. And so, yeah, I do think that they're in a situation where they absolutely are headed to a scenario where people are excited to see Justin Fields play, and there's going to be no protection for Russell Wilson financially to keep him on the field.
Mel, you know Justin Fields' skill set more than anyone, having scouted him coming out of Ohio State. When you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers moving on to Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, is this a place where Justin Fields can thrive?
I think he can. I really do. I think when you look at the pressure that's on him right now, it's alleviated by Russell Wilson being there. As Jeff said, he'll compete. He'll compete hard. If it's Russell Wilson's job, you can work him in. He will be on the field, giving defenses a lot to worry about. It's a win-win for the Steelers. If Russell Wilson can be kind of recreate what he did during those glory years with the Seattle Seahawks, great. Then Justin's 25. He's sitting there. He's waiting for his turn, right? If he isn't, then you got Justin Fields who can take over at some point. In a division where you have Lamar and Burrow and Watson, and an AFC loaded with the great Mahomes and Allen and all the other ones. So you can't fool around here at quarterback. You got to try to get to that level, and they feel with Wilson slash Fields, they can do it. So to me, it's a perfect win-win that they created. I think the Chicago Bears, again, this is the ultimate giveaway.
Tim, when you think about this quarterback room now, you have the young, talented guy who's trying to figure out a way to be a part of a team, to be a franchise quarterback, and Russell Wilson, who's on the back end of his career. In this quarterback room, is this something that the Pittsburgh Steelers can find success with?
Yeah, listen, I don't think they did a good job with it. I think the personalities matter. I think where guys are in the stage of their careers and how they see themselves matter. Russell Wilson, by all accounts, is playing on league minimum this year for his next deal. So a guy who's playing for his next deal has no interest in helping out a guy that sees himself as a starter right now. That is the part to me where you look at this dynamic where it doesn't work. And so I think in that regard, and listen, I still think it's good for Pittsburgh because they added two guys that I think are better than the guy that they had. But I think that the way that it plays out probably is not the best, and I think there'll be awkward moments. I'm sure the leadership in Pittsburgh will deal with it as well as any team in the league. But I think ultimately this turns into Justin Fields' football team.
Jeff, a quick take from you. I want to ask a question. Was the Justin Fields trade a knee-jerk reaction or a reaction to losing Kenny Pickett? Or was this something that they always wanted to do in Pittsburgh with new general manager in his second year, Omar Khan?
Mike Tomlin has long loved Justin Fields. Important point here as we consider that competition. One quick follow-up on something that Tim said earlier. When you talk about the financial stability of Russell Wilson's situation, he's getting paid $39 million no matter what because of the Denver Broncos. He took $1.2 million to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when he says they have no financial obligation here, he is exactly right. That's what makes this quarterback competition truly a competition, regardless of what the Pittsburgh Steelers say.
Well, Russell Wilson will be getting his $40 million no matter what. But if he's playing for his next contract, I know Mike T wants him to play with his hair on fire and hopefully win some playoff games. But coming up, does the D in Big D stand for disappointment? And have the Cowboys mishandled Dak's contract situation? And where can they possibly go from here? It's going to be fun. Stay tuned. Plus, is Caleb Williams the best quarterback in this year's draft class? There's one person here that makes the case for another top prospect, and it may not be the guy that you're thinking of.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Animation's X-Men 97. Streaming tomorrow only on Disney Plus. Let's run the hurry up with Jeff Darlington starting in Dallas. Jeff, the Cowboys adjusted Dak Prescott's contract yesterday. What does this mean for them?
Well, this doesn't mean all that much, Ryan. Ultimately, what they did is they threw a lawn chair off the Titanic. They need to figure out way more when it comes to Dak Prescott's contract. They basically converted $5 million of his signing bonus into guaranteed money for this coming season. That only frees up $4 million from what will be a $59 million cap hit in 2024. They need to fully redo Dak Prescott's contract if they're going to get any true cap relief for this coming season.
Tim, the Dallas Cowboys were supposed to be all in on this offseason. Has the mishandling of Dak's contract situation set them back?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question it has, Ryan. And I think, you know, they're paying for their reluctancy to do a deal when they immediately knew that Dak could play years ago. Mm-hmm. When they started playing that game of chicken to basically say, like, look, you've been the biggest bargain in sports, and we're going to hold the fact that you haven't made a lot of money against you, try to offer you an under-market deal. And Dak basically said, look, I'm not signing it. I'm going to play this out to the end, have the franchise tag sitting there. When he did that, he basically won a game of chicken with Jerry Jones. And by doing that, he made himself a lot of money. Dallas has had to kind of kick the can down the road in terms of his contract. But now they're paying for it. And so, look, that's not Dak's responsibility. I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, well, listen, like do what you need to do to get guys around you. That's not Dak's job. That's the Cowboys front office job. And so, you know, when you look at what they've done, because of what they've had to pay Dak and how they've had to pay him, that was their own fault. It's a bed they made that they're sleeping in now, and it's hurting them this offseason.
Jeff, Mike Williams was in New York to meet with the Jets yesterday. What have you heard about Mike Williams possibly joining the team?
Well, and he still is. He landed in New York last night and ultimately for that meeting with the Jets. But this is a situation where Williams has other meetings lined up. The Steelers are another team that has shown interest in Williams. We do anticipate him eventually visiting there as well. So he does have other teams, the Panthers, another team in the mix here. But the Jets will get their first shot at Mike Williams. We'll find out if they can lock him in and keep him from leaving the building.
Listen, the Jets understand that they built this team around Aaron Rodgers. He goes down on the fourth play last year, and the team is in disarray. So in building a team around Aaron Rodgers, now you go out, you get Morgan Moses. You're trying to add players on the outside. Tim, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, will that make the Jets the division favorites?
Yeah, listen, I think it puts them right at the top, RC. When you look at, you know, the Jets, they've been really good on the defensive side of the ball. I think that'll continue to be the case. And I don't know that we can, you know, understate what a healthy Aaron Rodgers means to the entire offense. I think they'll run the football better. I think they'll protect the quarterback better because of how quickly he's able to get rid of the football. And I think they become a more explosive offense. I think that he's that good. I think he makes that much of a difference. And I think we tend to, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind, certain things in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers has had a stretch. He's been as good as any quarterback in the National Football League. He basically misses all of last year, to your point. I think if he comes back and plays like he did 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I think it makes that big of a difference for the New York Jets.
I know, Tim, you say if he comes back and plays the way we saw him play when he was the back-to-back NFL MVP, but how are we sure that can happen? Do they have the right pieces around him? Is he still the same quarterback? What gives you confidence that Aaron Rodgers can come back and be the dude that the Jets signed up for last offseason?
Yeah, basically, Ryan, because I don't think that guys of his caliber just completely fall apart this quickly. You know, in terms of the way the ball comes out of his hands, he hasn't physically lost anything. Now, coming off of an Achilles injury, will he move a little differently? Possibly. That remains to be seen. But we've seen plenty of guys come off of that injury and be fine. And so I think with that, when the injury happened, I expect Aaron Rodgers to be the Aaron Rodgers that we're used to seeing.
Jeff, the Buffalo Bills didn't finish the season the way they wanted to, losing in the divisional round to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I've been paying attention to Stephon Diggs this offseason. He has a fire new clothing line. He's been in every single country that there is a fashion show, but I have not heard much about him in Buffalo. What's the latest on that situation?
Well, Ryan, he has made very clear that he's ready for whatever. Exactly his sentiments that he shared on social media. And the Bills do have a little bit of a pickle that they're in to try to figure this out. He has a salary cap hit this coming season of $27.9 million. This last weekend, $18 million of his salary for this coming season became guaranteed. So this isn't a situation where the Bills are going to cut him by any means and give him any type of freedom. If they were to get rid of Stephon Diggs, if they couldn't rework his contract, it would require a trade. But there's also a belief that they can get to a place with Diggs that they can get a restructured contract to still keep him in Buffalo and still keep him happy. As we know, though, last offseason, this got a little bit sticky. We'll see if general manager Brandon Bean, one of the best in the league, can keep this situation peaceful and keep Stephon Diggs on the roster this coming season.
Jeff, I mean, you said Steph was ready for whatever. T.I. was also ready for whatever back in the day. But this is about Josh Allen. And does he have enough weapons? And you think about building around him when you lose a guy like Gabe Davis, when you continue to fall short in the playoffs. I think the year has to be now. You got to find a way to replace some of those veterans defensively. They have been right on the cusp of being an AFC championship team for years, right? You've had Josh Allen and the Patrick Mahomes battles. We've seen Joe Burrow go into Buffalo and leave with the win. At some point, it has to happen. And all of this conversation about Stephon Diggs and where will he be and how can you make him happy? Is there any dissension in the locker room? That has to stop for Josh Allen to be the quarterback we expect him to be individually and to raise this team to the height in which they're supposed to be. And so for me, if I'm Sean McDermott, I want this done. I want this conversation quieted. I want Stephon Diggs moving forward with our team in the way that we have the last few years or not there at all. But coming up, Mel has his new mock draft this morning, and we can't wait to show you how many quarterbacks go off the board in the first 12 picks. There's a spoiler alert, though. It would be absolutely historic.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
It is time for a little eye candy, and for that, we bring you back to Utah for this monster posterizing dunk by Anthony Edwards over John Collins. Now, we know that Anthony Edwards has been skying the entire season. There's been highlight dunks, there's been big-time threes, but there's also been a huge block to beat the Pacers. When you think about this dunk, Tim, and then now you move to the block that won the game, by the way. Which play is most impressive to you?
I'm going to go with the block for the reason you said. You're talking about saving a game. Now, that dunk, that has a lot of value, too, beyond 2 points, believe me. The psychological trauma you can inflict with a dunk like that. But you're talking about making a play to win a game. And ultimately, Anthony Edwards, as he starts to ascend into pecking order in the NBA, that end of the floor is going to have a lot to do with that. Yep. He lays it on the line, and this is one of the greatest blocks you will ever see. No regard for his body, Ryan. None.
Well, I agree with that, and this looks just like Tim Hasselbeck playing intramural college basketball, hitting his head on the backboard to block a shot. So, Tim, you tell me, do you like the dunk more, or is it the block to win the game?
Listen, I mean, I like it all. We got to choose. So I'm going with a dunk, but I'm glad that you pointed out, like, when Legg says no regard for his body, he's talking about hitting his head, you know, on the backboard, not like how he lands. But, like, right. To me, this looks like Jeff Darlington playing hoops in his house with, like, the little hoop on the door, like, jumping up and just, like, throwing it in. Like we're calling it a dunk, but he's, like, throwing it down. Like, I'm not sure his hand touches the rim. He just kind of, like, chucks it. Like, it's absurd. Like, I don't know when this athleticism started to become a thing in the NBA, but it's wild.
That is exactly how I terrorize my 9-year-old when we're playing Nerf dunk basketball. He is terrible, by the way. He is awful. I crush him just like he did right here. John Starks, this reminds me of having a poster on my wall as a kid. John Starks with the dunk over Horace Grant. Yes, that was in the Eastern Conference Finals. This is not. But the dunk to me is more important than the block just from the memory's sake. This is what goes on a kid's wall as a poster. The block, as Legg said, though, so significant because of what it meant to the game.
And you know, Jeff, speaking of kids, you said that your 9-year-old is awful at basketball. Genetics are a thing too, my man.
Maybe
he gets it from his dad. But back to football, where today, right now on ESPN.com, Mel Kiper Jr. released his mock draft 3.0. Of note, he has 5 quarterbacks going in the top 12 of the draft, which would tie with the 1999 for the fastest 5 quarterbacks that have gone off the board. He has Minnesota and Denver at 11 and 12, grabbing QBs after a run of them going 1, 2, and 3. Now, Mel, let's focus on the top three quarterbacks and where you place them. Also, let's do it in Mel's mock speed. You got 1 minute on the clock. Let's go.
Let's go right to number three in New England Patriots. People say, we'll trade out of there. Well, they need a quarterback as much as Minnesota does, right, or Denver. So why not take Drake May? Yes, he wasn't as good this year as he was in 2022, but he lost his coordinator and Josh Downs and didn't have Walker right away. You think about where we are right now with Drake May. I think at three, it makes perfect sense. He certainly has the skill set. He has the mindset. He has everything you want. And they need a quarterback in a division with Josh Allen, Tua, and Aaron Rodgers. In the AFC, they got to get the quarterback. Look at number two, Jaden Daniels. He has done everything perfectly. The season, everything was ideal. The ultimate dual threat quarterback, drawing comparisons to Lamar Jackson, Randall Cunningham for obvious reasons. Washington's made a lot of additions through free agency, improving this roster on both sides of the ball. Jaden Daniels would be phenomenal as a Washington Commander quarterback. And then you go to number one, Caleb Williams. It should be Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, but that's not the case. That's a story for another day. Bottom line is Caleb Williams has a little of Mahomes in him. We would have been saying this was locked, guaranteed. He's going to be super elite, but that Notre Dame game on, there were some struggles with Caleb Williams, right? That's why this wasn't necessarily the super generational guy that we thought he was, but he still was in that same category that Trevor Lawrence was. I think it is a slam dunk that the Chicago Bears take Caleb Williams number one overall.
Tim, when you hear Mel say it's a slam dunk that Caleb Williams goes number one overall, is that enough for you to solidify him as the best prospect of this draft, or do you have someone else in mind?
Yeah, look, obviously a lot of people feel like, Mel included, that Caleb Williams will go one. Do I think he's the best prospect in this draft class? No, I do not. I think that Drake May is. And I think that, you know, this can happen a lot where you can prefer somebody over somebody else and the other guy's not a terrible player. I think Caleb Williams is a great prospect. His ability to kind of stay calm in the pocket and create is uncommon. It's special. I also think that when you look at Drake May, there is so much to like about his game, and I think he's going to be a better pro than college player. And so, do I think May's the best prospect? Yes, I do. I think there are a lot of reasons why, this past year wasn't as good as the year prior, but I think in terms of size, athletic ability, competitiveness, able to process the ability to put a lot on his plate at the next level, which is going to be very different for all of these guys in terms of the offenses that they ran in college to the offenses that they run in the pros. I think that May checks more boxes. I think he ends up being a safer pick for anybody that grabs him.
Well, you know what happens is, like, when you're in the stadium and you get to see these guys, you feel a little differently about them, right? Your emotions get attached. I got to see Caleb Williams twice because my son played in the Pac-12, and he was absolutely phenomenal with his legs, his ability to throw, his ability to make something out of nothing. But I know not playing on time has been an issue for him and something that NFL teams will have to come to grips with. And we obviously know what Drake May can be, and we saw Jaden Daniels on his way to winning the Heisman Trophy. But, Jeff, have you heard anything different other than Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Bears?
No, I haven't. The consensus from my understanding, and I'm not saying that I've literally talked to 32 general managers here, but plenty enough to feel like Caleb Williams will go number one and is the number one prospect. You know, to Tim's point, though, it is rare for the first quarterback pick. I know this sounds crazy, but for the first quarterback picked to be the best quarterback in the draft. We have seen it time after time after time with legendary quarterbacks. They are not the first player selected in the draft. So to defend him a little bit, yes, Caleb Williams looks like the consensus top quarterback in this draft, but that does not necessarily guarantee that he will be the best.
Well, you know, the other piece of this is it's not every time, right? It's not 100% that the number one overall pick ends up being the best quarterback. But you do have opportunities to get guys like Joe Burrow that have absolutely turned the Cincinnati Bengals organization around. True. Mel, you talked about the way that Caleb Williams finished the season after the Notre Dame game. How much do you think that's on Caleb or some of the deficiencies we saw at UFC defensively with the skilled players and also some of the things Lincoln Riley was doing offensively?
Yeah, I think a lot of that, Ryan, was the factor in Caleb Williams from that Notre Dame game on. And Curtis not having Jordan Addison this year affected him as well. He was phenomenal in 2022. And they always said, late great Bill Walsh said, once you see that greatness, you maintain that greatness. That's up to the coaching staff to do that. Caleb Williams, late in the year, wasn't the same quarterback from that Notre Dame game on. It didn't look like, but Drake May wasn't either. Drake May struggled against Virginia, NC State, Clemson. So it was the same thing there. Jaden Daniels nailed it throughout the year, did everything perfectly. So I'm of the belief right now, when you look at Ryan Poles, right, GM of the Chicago Bears. He was director of college scouting in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. There are similarities with Mahomes and Williams. So I think that's why this pick makes perfect sense. If I'm the Bears, though, Justin Fields is not a stealer. Justin Fields is there, like Aikman was there, and they drafted Steve Walsh, Montana and Young. You go to Mahomes with Alex Smith. I am not giving away Justin Fields. He's there with Caleb Williams, and they're going to be there in Chicago, and he is not a Pittsburgh Steeler if I had anything to do about it.
Yeah, I will say this, Mel. The difference between some of those quarterbacks that you named, they were a little bit long in the tooth. Those guys were veterans. They were accomplished. They were some people that you would expect to mentor and teach and help a young quarterback come along. Justin Fields is trying to get that bag on the second contract. And so that wasn't going to be a quarterback room that had some sense of harmony.
Who cares?
And also, Jeff, when you think about of the things – You say, I know, Mel, it's who cares and oh well, but do you think there could be some synergy in that room that allows whichever quarterback is the starter to have some comfort in his position if Justin Fields stays?
I don't think you care.
Hey, I was looking at
that's not their job. A quarterback's job, Jeff, and is not to mentor. The coaches have to develop the quarterback. Quarterbacks are there to compete and try to win football games in a league where quarterback's most important position in any sport is quarterback in the National Football League. When Aikman was there and Walsh was brought in by Jimmy Johnson, yeah, it was a competition. And then Walsh was traded to New Orleans, and they got some draft choices in return. Montana and Young wasn't a perfect scenario, right? Mahomes was there and sat and redshirted basically while Alex Smith was there, led him to the playoffs, and they traded Alex Smith. But Aikman and Walsh dynamic would be similar to that one. And the quarterbacks, this whole thing, the quarterback has to mentor the other one. I'm not of a belief that has to happen. You have coaches there. You got 24 of them. Are you kidding me? To get these quarterbacks ready. It's not the backup quarterback's job to get the other guy ready to be a quarterback at a high level in the NFL.
Yeah, Mel, I completely agree with you. And something, Ryan, that you said there, like, I'm with you in terms of making sure the synergy's right, but I went back and looked because I was curious about, like, Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Everybody says, well, yeah, Alex Smith handled that perfectly. When they drafted Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith is on record saying that his initial reaction was, what the heck are they doing right now? He wasn't pumped. He wasn't happy about that. Yes, he handled it professionally, but Alex Smith was trying to keep his job, not simply allow Patrick Mahomes to come in there and take it, which obviously was ultimately inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, it was inevitable because of the talent disparity between those two guys. But Alex Smith also knew he had chance after chance after chance to get Andy Reid and Kansas City over the hump, and he couldn't. Right. So eventually they were going to move on from him. And he was at a point in his career where he could go be a veteran quarterback somewhere else. Justin Fields is not in that place. And though I would love to have a quarterback room that's stacked with two very young quarterbacks who are inexpensive to run my football team. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way personalities work. And I think we forget only one dude gets to take snaps every week. You don't get to play nickel package at the quarterback position. But we'll get back to that later. The ESPN Tournament Challenge, men's and women's brackets are open. So download the app to get started. Then create a group, invite your friends, and get ready for the madness. With the number one bracket game, the men's game closes Thursday at noon Eastern, and the women's game Friday morning at 11:30 Eastern. Look at all the brackets already created. ESPN Tournament Challenge. Download the Tournament Challenge app and use all the great tools to help you fill out your men's and women's brackets today.
Need help filling out your Women's Tournament Challenge bracket? Start by crossing off the 14, 15, and 16 seeds. In tournament history, those teams are a combined 1 and 347 in the first round. 11 seeds are interesting. Over the last five tournaments, those teams have 8 wins in the first round. And 3 of those teams advanced to the Sweet 16. Speaking of the Sweet 16, in each of the last 2 years, a 9 seed or worse has won a Sweet 16 game. That happened only twice over the previous 22 tournaments. When it comes to the Final Four, you'll want to get the chalk out. One seeds have won 31 of 41 national titles, and no team worse than a three seed has ever won it all. So, to recap, the numbers 14, 15, and 16 are to be avoided. 11 seeds are your friend, and one seeds are your best friends. Got it? Great. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app and fill out your women's brackets now.
All right, let's take a look at all the signups. Look at all the brackets that have already been created with ESPN Tournament Challenge. Don't forget, download the Tournament Challenge app and use all the great tools to help you fill out your men's and women's brackets today. And coming up, more from Mel's mock. Should the Giants trade up in the draft to get a quarterback? Why Mel thinks that they should ride with Daniel Jones. Plus, Shohei Ohtani makes his Dodger debut tomorrow. Is it anything but a trip to the World Series or failure for LA? Jess Mendoza is here to answer just that.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back on Get Up, and we're going back to Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mock Draft 3.0, which was just released on ESPN.com this morning. He has five quarterbacks going in the top 12 of the draft. No surprises at the top, with Williams, Daniels, and Drake May going 1-2-3. The shocker came after that, with the Giants at six passing up on a quarterback to pick a receiver. Mel, you don't have the Giants taking a quarterback at number six. Everyone's talking about the Giants making a trade, maybe moving up to three, a J.J. McCarthy draft pick at that point. Why do you have them standing pat?
Right, I thought about it. Almost did the J.J. McCarthy to the Giants, but I felt this way, that, okay, if you have Daniel Jones, you get him back ready for the start of the season off those injuries from last year. And a couple of years ago, he beat Kirk Cousins, who everybody's celebrating going to the Atlanta Falcons, right? He went into Minnesota and beat him. They gave him the money. Then he got hurt. So when I get him a receiver like a Malik Nabers, if you were there, I have him going to the Chargers in this mock, or Romo Dunes, who I had them taking out of Washington, who's an outstanding player. Joe Burrow, they got him Ja'Marr Chase, right? When Josh Allen needed to take that next step, they went out and got Stephon Diggs. Lamar Jackson this year, they brought in Zay Flowers, GM Eric DaCosta. That worked out really well. So for me, if Daniel Jones, they say, hey, they want to cut ties, they're not sold on him, blah, 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 fine, go with J.J. McCarthy. If Brian Daboll feels J.J. McCarthy at age 21 has all that skill set and can be the guy and does what Chicago really should have done and has Williams with Fields, then I'm okay with it. I have no problem with them taking J.J. McCarthy at six, but I would go with the receiver to help Daniel Jones and Nabers or Odunze.
Tim, put your GM hat on. Is it better for the Giants to build around Daniel Jones or draft a quarterback and reset?
I think draft a quarterback and reset. And so whether that's moving up or whether that's slightly moving back, to Mel's point, maybe if you do want McCarthy and you feel like the board is moving in a way that you could do that and still, you know, draft McCarthy, I think you have to reset. And here's why I say it. Not because I don't think that Daniel Jones hasn't had his moments. He can't stay healthy. Like, that's the biggest thing for me on Daniel Jones. Look, we can disagree on the type of player you think he is, if he's been supported enough to have success. The bigger issue is he's not healthy enough to play. I don't think that you can trust building around him because of his injury history at this point in his career. And so with that, I think it's time to address the quarterback situation in a different way, which means draft somebody moving up, picking at six, or even moving slightly back if you feel like you can do that.
I mean, that's going to be one of the more interesting picks of the upcoming draft. We'll get back with Tim and Mel later, because we know that the Giants made Daniel Jones a rich man last year, but not richer than this man. Tomorrow, Shohei Ohtani makes his regular season debut with the Dodgers in the MLB season opener. The Dodgers and the Padres will play the league's first ever regular season game in Seoul, Korea. With an opening two-game series, the coverage begins at 5:30 on ESPN.
Let's go!
And the app.
Let's go!
And with me is Jessica Mendoza, the sweetest swing the Get Up Studio has ever seen, whether it's pancakes, mini helmets, whatever it is, along with her analysis, she knocks it out of the park. All right, Jessica, money is money, but I don't know what's worth $700 million. How can Shohei Ohtani possibly be worth that much?
Because he's two players in one. I mean, you're talking star hitter, star pitcher. And to me, yes, I mean, we can break down the tape and we show it all the time of how great Shohei Ohtani is. But to me, it's the fact that he has deferred this contract. And look at all the players that he is going to bring to this Dodgers organization. It already started with Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who we'll get to later, signs with this team because they've got the money, plus his influence, not only in Japan, but Ryan, I'm talking to players all over the board, and they want to play with the greatest player that we have seen. Right. So yes, $700 million because he's this amazing talent, but also all the talent that he is going to bring with him.
Shohei Ohtani has become somewhat iconic, you know, not only where he's from, but now here. You're talking about all the players that want to play with him. The Mookie Betts and the Freddie Freemans are also in this lineup. If you're an opposing pitcher, what does that look like for you?
Are you kidding me? I can't wait. Like, 6 a.m. cannot come quick enough tomorrow because we got Mookie Betts at the top of the lineup. Then you got Shohei right after him with that swing, that presence in the batter's box. Then Freddie Freeman. By the way, 1, 2, 3 MVPs we have never seen. Three MVPs back to back to back in their prime in a lineup in the history of the sport. And by the way, this makes the rest of their lineup not even have to produce, but you see some of the dudes in the rest of that lineup. This could be fun.
Okay, the lineup is crazy. We know the stars. We know the normal big time names. Who's going to be the X factor for this team if they want to win the whole thing?
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
A
lot of people don't know who he is. We will actually see him start in this Korea series. He is the highest paid pitcher, the most lucrative deal that we have ever seen in Major League history. That's how good his stuff is. You're talking 95 mile an hour fastball, 93 mile an hour cutter. Oh, by the way, the split sits at 90 and 73 mile an hour curveball. He has a ton of pressure on him. He's got to produce with Ohtani not being able to pitch this year.
Okay, so you've already filled in that blank. We have a few more for you to fill in for us.
All
because
right,
we want
right.
to be excited, as excited about the baseball season as you are. Okay, we're going to start with number one. Blake Snell makes the Giants
a playoff team. And this is yes, because he not only brings the Cy Young caliber pitcher with his filthy lefty stuff, but he also adds to Logan Webb. These were the top two pitchers in the National League last year. By the way, the Giants also signed Matt Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee out of Korea. This team got a whole lot better in the offseason.
All right. The Juan Soto, Aaron Judge tandem will be
historic. I mean, giddy up, let's go. And we know how many historic lineups we've seen with this Yankees lineup. But Aaron Judge, by the way, 99 career home runs, 64 have been solo. So who gets on base in front of him? Juan Soto, 421 career on base percentage. That tandem is going to make a huge difference in that lineup for the Yanks.
Okay, this one makes me sad, but maybe your answer will get me a little bit excited. In a perfect world, Mike Trout should finish the season
with the Phillies.
Are you trading Mike Trout?
Heck yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is what baseball needs. Mike Trout in the playoffs. We talk about it every single year, please. But not only the Phillies because of their lineup and how great they are. This was Mike Trout's hometown team. This is the team that he loved, that made him love the game of baseball.
Well, Mike Trout is a regular at the Philadelphia Eagles football games.
Yeah.
So they would love to see him back at home doing what he does, which at one point was better than anybody in the world. I guess until Shohei Ohtani showed up and he could be two players in one and make every single person want to be on this team. Thank you, Jess, so much. That was exciting. And I can't wait till 5:30 a.m. tomorrow. But coming up, does Pitt have a new problem? How quickly will we see a quarterback controversy between Justin and Russ?